Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Yesterday, Cliff Sora shared a top 10 list of hot fusion restaurants, a vegan gluten-free mashup recipe, and a podcast featuring organic food trends. Oh, TMI, too much internet information. That's oversharing. Cliff, Geico has something worth sharing with your friends. Like how on Geico.com you could save hundreds on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim. Gluten-free info that's easy to swallow. Mm. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Good morning out there.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, picture a man going on a journey beyond sight and sound. He's left Crete. He's entered the demilitarized zone. What is a demilitarized zone? Sounds like something out of the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, no, don't go in there.
Oh, hee, ho, Ho Chi Minh.
Oh, look, you've landed in Saigon. You're among the little people now.
We represent the Arvan Army, the Arvan Army. Oh, no, follow the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Follow the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Oh, I'll get you, my pretty. Oh, my God, it's the Wicked Witch of the North. It's Hanoi Hanna. Now, little G.I., you and your little toodoo, too.
Adrian, what are you doing, Adrian?
Oh, Hannah, you slut. You've been on everything but the Titanic. Stop it right now.
I'm melting. My pretty old.
But hey, here's some little advice. Don't eat at a restaurant located next to a pound.
So let's check in the field now. Hey, hi, can you help me? What's your name? My name's Roosevelt Lee Roosevelt. Roosevelt, what town are you stationed in? I'm stationed in Phuong Thanh. Well, thank you, Roosevelt. What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hot in this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking. Well, can you tell me what it feels like? Fool, and it's hot, I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot. You can be a little thing. I saw it so damn hot. I saw one of those little guys in the orange robe burst into flames. It's that hot. You know what I'm talking about. Well, what do you think it's going to be like tonight? It's going to be hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle. Thank you, Roosevelt. Here's a song coming your way right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas. Yes!
Oh, my God. Here we are. Okay. I think we're finally on the air, and I know I'm alive. I've been sweating in here the last few minutes. Mike Mobley, I hope you're listening in. Thanks for sticking by me. We eventually are going to have a great show here. I remember watching TV and listening to the radio and listening to those people talking about live radio or live TV and all the stuff that happens, but never thought I'd be living it or walking the walk. Anyway, welcome to All About Vets Radio on Radio Talk on WarriorTalkRadio.com. I am your host, Don U-Turn Marsh. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I'm damn proud of it. We always welcome your questions, unless you have a question about how to hook us up to the internet. Comments and input that you may have. Unless it's get off the internet because you don't know how to run the radio. It's really not us, folks. It's the software that we use for to get the program on air. It's a problem that we have with the interface. So we're working on it, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll have everything fixed and ready to go. Debbie Lee, I see you're on the line. Thank you so much for hanging in there with me. We are on Radio Talk on Warrior Talk Radio, and that's www.warriortalkradio.com. Call in number, I almost don't want to give this out today because I don't want any more calls. Our call in number is 646-595-3504. The All About Vets website is www.allaboutvets.us. Of course, we're on Facebook, All About Vets. And All About Vets is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and our mission is to provide support support and promote awareness of the needs of veterans and their families, as well as the needs of those currently serving in the armed forces. We do this radio program every Wednesday at 10 a.m. or sometimes 10:15, whatever happens. Oh my God, we have a busy and exciting program today, and we're going to try and get everything done, do what we can do. Then I'm going to give a special shout out to a good friend of mine. Did a great magazine article this week in the VFW National Magazine. So we have an event coming up at the Pepsi Center Monday, February 29th at the Pepsi Center in Denver, Colorado from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it's called Hiring Our Heroes, Hiring Our Heroes. And you can find out all the information at hiringourheroes.org. And you need to go there and register. It's a one-of-a-kind event featuring a hiring fair, networking opportunities, and workshops tailored for veteran job seekers, active duty military members, guard and reserve members, and military spouses. All registered veterans and military spouses are eligible to receive up to 2 free tickets for them and their families to attend that evening's game between the Nuggets and the Grizzlies. So please, if you get a chance, attend this. And that is going to be, again, February 29th. At the Pepsi Center in Denver from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So do what you can to attend that. If you're looking for a job, my good friend Jim Ware, 26th Annual Motorcycle Show and Swap Meet in Colorado Springs, and that's going to be March 5th and 6th. Get down there and walk around and check out all the new bikes. It's Saturday, March 5th, Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Adults are $10. Old adults 65 and over are $7. Kids 12 and under are free. And that's at 3650 North Nevada Avenue, Colorado Springs. And you can check it out. Go to www.propromotions.com. That's www.pro-promotions.com. And if you want to enter something in there, a bike, or you want to have a booth, give Jim a call at area code 719-487-8005. They'll have custom and antique motorcycles on display. The 24th annual Colorado Tattoo Competition, live music, an indoor beer garden, 175 plus swap meet tables, charity auction. There's just all kinds. I tell you, it's going to take you 2 days to go through everything that you need to walk around and see. So check it out. And again, it's $10 when you get and definitely a great show. I mean, I've been to that for a number of years, and Jim doesn't hold back, and he's a big veteran supporter. March 9th, it's the second Wednesday of every month. The next one is March 9th from 6:30 to 9:30 here in Texas in Austin. It is the Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness of Awesome Jobs networking event, and it's at 115 San Jacinto Boulevard, Austin, Texas. 78701, second Wednesday of every month, and it's for all employers, recruiters, veteran advocates, educational institutions, and veterans eager to be a mentor or simply seeking employment. life, liberty, and the pursuit of awesome jobs. So we want to be sure and attend that if you can. You know, just join in there. So here's a new one that I just received notification of. The Veteran Entrepreneur Program, Women Veteran Entrepreneurs Seminar. And that's the 12th of March, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Arlington College of Business, 701 Southwest Street, Arlington, Texas, 76019. You'll be able to go in there and do a lot of networking and hosting. So stand by 1 minute, folks. We're going to, again, I want to remind you of the call-in number, and that is area code 646-595-3504. Who do I have here?
Hello.
Hi, it's Don Marsh on All About Vets Radio Show.
How you doing, Don?
I'm doing well. Who is this?
It's Bobby Henline. What's going on? I wasn't sure if you had me on.
Yeah.
I know, Bobby. I don't sound like Debbie.
No, not in the least. The show is running ragged today. We're trying to... hey, Bobby, I got my copy of the VFW magazine the other day, and I opened it up, and voila, I about passed out on the floor here. Broke
it scared you that bad.
It scared me that bad, man. Hey, but they didn't put you on the front, man.
Right. Okay, anyway, I'll be cover worthy someday.
Yeah, well, you are worthy right now, brother. Trust me. Folks, this is Bobby Henline. Debbie, just hang on, please. I'm so sorry. Bobby Henline is an Army veteran. You know, he enlisted way back when and did a tour in Iraq, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and came back home to California and then got out. And then 9/11 happened, and guess what? Bobby felt the urge to reenlist, and the Army was smart enough to take him again. And I'm sure Bobby's had some second thoughts about that over the years. But anyway, this is one great guy. Bobby, tell us your story about what happened and what you've been doing since.
Yeah, back April 7th, 2007, that's when my Humvee got hit by a roadside bomb. I was the only survivor out of five guys in the vehicle. Burnt over 38% of my body. My head burnt to the skull. Doctor said there's no medical explanation why I was alive. I had a long recovery, 5.5 months in the hospital, 3 years physical therapy, and surgeries, 47 surgeries now. And just going through all that, I've kept my sense of humor and use that to help heal and to help others. And it's 7 years ago now, my occupational therapist thought I was funny joking around the hospital and thought I should do stand-up comedy. And I thought there was no way that people would be able to laugh at me getting blown up in Iraq. Like, there's no way they're going to find that funny. Of course, we did in the hospital around all the military people because we were sick people. we can laugh at that stuff. But so I finally listened to her, and I tried it, and I've been doing stand-up comedy now and trying to help other veterans get through their issues and see the brighter side at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I've seen your stuff, been subjected to your humor. I'll tell you what, man, it's great that you're doing this, and I know that you continually have to watch out for yourself and take special care of yourself, but I've been seeing on Facebook you got a new endeavor coming up in the San Antonio area. What you doing?
I do. I'm excited. There's a Korean veteran out of California who owns a burger place called Biggie's Burgers and Great Shakes, and he wants to pass on his knowledge. He's been running that place for 25 years, and he wants to help other veterans open their own Biggie's. And then once that veteran opens their Biggie's, they'll put money back in a pot to help another veteran open another one, and so start partnering with other veterans to open their own business. basically. So, you know, it's the old saying, you teach a man to fish and you'll feed him for life. And that's what we're trying to do with Biggie's Burgers and Great Shakes. And right now I'm doing fundraising and trying to do grants to raise the money to get mine started.
Okay, well, you know, just keep posting and updating us, and, you know, Cindy and I'll be down there. I'll travel 200 miles for Great Burgers, so any day. And, you know, we want to come down when you get that place up and rolling, and you know, just, you know, enjoy a good meal. So, where you got any appearances coming up, any shows that you're going to be doing in the near future?
Right now, it's nice and quiet. I just plan on going to Arizona in a couple of weeks and skydive for a week, take some time off.
You going to hook up with Fred out there? Or?
Yeah, I'll definitely see Crazy Fred, that's for sure.
He is, as you know, I didn't have your number, so I couldn't text you this morning, but he was our go-between guy and helped out. So, Bobby, thanks so much for calling in and talking to us. And, you know, any last words before we move on that you want to let folks know about?
No, I just want to say thanks for having me on. Appreciate you sharing my story, Don, and say hi to Debbie when she gets on. How you doing, Debbie? Have fun. Love you guys, and we'll see you soon.
We are. I'm going to have you on in the next couple of months as a guest co-host, and we'll be able to chat more and tell folks about your whole story.
Sounds good, Don. Thank you.
Take care, brother. Love you.
Okay. Love you, too.
And now, I think we're ready for Miss Debbie Lee. If I can get her on there now, I would just really love this if this all comes together. This Debbie, you got to be a jinx. I love you to death, but last time I was supposed to have you on was back in October or early November, and I fell and broke my hip. And today we're having a few minor problems with hooking up on the show. But anyway, this week's all about Beth's guest co-host is Miss Debbie Lee, founder of America's Mighty Warriors and mother of Navy SEAL Mark Lee. Debbie is an author, public speaker, and political activist who has traveled the nation telling her son's amazing story and advocating for our troops, their families, and families of the fallen. Debbie understands the sacrifices our troops make and that freedom isn't free. On August 2nd of 2006, she received that knock on the door, forever change your life. She was notified that her son, Mark Allen Lee, had been killed in action during the becoming the first Navy SEAL killed in Iraq. Since that day, Debbie has dedicated her life to honoring our troops and the families of the fallen, defending for defenders, and fighting to keep the freedoms of our troops have fought for. Debbie, I'm going to bring you on. And I'm not going to bother letting people know the rest of it. You know, it's all, you can tell everybody your story. Are you there?
I'm here. Can we hear me?
Yeah.
Yay!
I love you, Beth. you know, it must be the wind blowing here in central Texas today, because it's just, everything is going hog wild and crazy. But I love you so much for hanging in there with me this morning and being so patient.
No, you bet. You know, anything that I can do to continue to support our troops and the families of the fallen, you know, you just think about the patience that it takes when they're out on deployments and, you know, waiting for, you know, especially I'm thinking of a sniper right now who sometimes sits for 4 days, you know, waiting for that enemy to be caught. And so a little bit of patience there today is no problem, Don. Those things happen, and I'm glad we finally connected.
Yeah, we did. Well, again, thank you so much. So, Debbie, let's take it from August 2nd of 2006, and you know, of course, I walked the walk with Cindy, and I know her story and everything that happened with Danny and the events, but. Do you mind telling the folks out there what happened from that day on?
You bet. As you said in your introduction, that was definitely a day that forever changed my life. It, you know, I am so proud of Mark. I'm so proud of the sacrifices that he made. But, excuse me, my life will never be the same. I was blessed to be the mother of that young man who made the choice that day to willingly give his life to save his teammates. And that trickles down to us that, because our men and women who serve and sacrifice are willing to do that, we can wake up every single morning and enjoy the freedoms that we have here in America because of the price that's been paid by you, by Mark, by Danny, by every one of our men and women who served and sacrificed through the years. And we began to put together the story of Mark's heroic actions. And we learned that that day in Ramadi, it was 115, 120 degrees. I live in Arizona, and once in a while, we see those extreme temperatures, but I can guarantee you, no one is anywhere but in their air-conditioned house or air-conditioned office or air-conditioned car or their swimming pool. They are not out in battle, and they had been fighting. Mark's platoon, Charlie's platoon, had been fighting for 2 hours, one of the most intense firefights in Iraq up to that point, and it was depicted through the eyes of Hollywood in the movie American Sniper. It wasn't, you know, quite accurate, but it was portrayed in that movie. And I can't imagine for 2 hours in 115, 120 degree temperatures fighting and staying, you know, being able just to even not pass out in those extreme temperatures. And Mark carried the big gun. He carried the M60. So he carried anywhere from 150 to 180 pounds. Combine those three things, 115, 120 degrees, carrying 150 to 180 pounds, and being in intense firefight for 2 hours. And Mark's buddy Ryan, there were four of them on the rooftop, and Mark's buddy Ryan had been severely injured, and he fell to the ground. Two of the SEALs quickly fell to their knees to help Ryan. Mark could have made that very same choice, but his choice that day was to stand up into the direct line of fire, hoping that he could provide the cover to get the medic up to the roof to attend to Ryan. And they were able to do that. The medic got up there, and he took one look, and he said, "We got to get him out of here immediately, or there's no chance for survival." So not once, but then again a second time, Mark made that same choice all by himself, just to stand up there, expose himself, hoping to provide, you know, be able to lay down some suppressive fire. He had the big gun. He knew he'd be able to do that, and hopefully the get everybody off the roof, and they did. And they sent Ryan off for medical attention. They climbed into their Bradley and headed back to the base that I'm proud to tell you was named Camp Mark Lee in his memory. And they got back to that base, and we had watched our Navy SEALs do some absolutely amazing things. And at times they even seemed superhuman to us. But I know those young men well. Those are my adopted family now. And Chris Kyle even told me later, he got back to the base and he thought for sure that Ryan wouldn't be able to survive his injuries and was beginning to process that Ryan had probably died. And the chief came in and he said, "We just found 30 insurgents that just attacked us." And without hesitation, Mark looked at his chief and he said, "Roger that, let's go get them." They had done their mission for the day. They were right on the backside of a Marine base. They could have said, "You know what? Go find some of the Marines. Send some of them that are fresh and haven't been out in battle today." But that's not who our Navy SEALs are. And they climbed in their Bradleys and they headed back to that godforsaken place. And they cleared several houses. They went in the last house Mark would be in and cleared the bottom of the house. And they started up the steps and they heard Mark yell, "On me!" And the guys knew what he was saying. He was saying, "I got the lead on this. You guys follow me." And as they went up those steps, they drew fire through a window. And for the last and final time, Mark made the choice to turn into that line of fire. He didn't run from it. He didn't duck below the wall. He willingly gave his life for his teammates. And I know where that young man is. He was a believer. I will see him again one day. And until then, my choice that day was to pick up his weapon and get on his boots and stay in the fight for our men and women who serve and sacrifice and give so much for us and for our freedoms here in America. And Don, I think you'll agree, so many people don't understand that. They don't understand that price that is paid for them on a regular basis. They wake up every morning and get in their car and they go worship at their churches and they say what they want. And, you know, there's a price that is paid for that. Freedom Isn't Free is not just a slogan. It is the truth. And I am dedicated to our men and women who serve. I'm dedicated to the families of the fallen. And in response to Mark's amazing last letter home, that I would encourage all of your listeners to go to AmericasMightyWarriors.org and read that. We founded America's Mighty Warriors to continue to stay in the fight for our troops and families of the fallen.
All right. And when did you actually start America's Mighty Warriors?
Well, officially we started in 2008. About 7 weeks after Mark died, we lost Mikey Mansoor, who was on SEAL Team 3, was on Delta Platoon, and he fell on a grenade. And I knew I needed to be there for that family. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I wasn't that far in the grief process myself, but I knew I was a few steps ahead of them and I could bring some comfort to them by just being there. And that's kind of when the vision started. And then, you know, I would find myself coincidentally, you know, in Washington, D.C. when we have another wounded that was evac'd in, or, you know, and I knew that's where, you know, God orchestrated my steps to be out there helping and encouraging others. You know, who better to do that than someone who's, you know, knows exactly what they're going through. But we officially started in 2008, and there's four main things that we do. One of them is, in response to Mark's amazing last letter home, was to do those random acts of kindness that he talked about in his letter. And that could be anything from a meal, tank of gas, gift card, up to, you know, a $5,000 grant for certain, you know, circumstances. Now, the troops can't come to us and ask for help. That helps in the vetting process. But if you knew somebody, you could reach out to us and say, hey, my buddy's house just burnt down. He needs some help here. And we would still do further vetting, but that helps, you know, make sure that the funds are going to someone that really has a need. And it's not just crisis. We had a veteran, an amputee, who couldn't afford his honeymoon, so we sent them to Hawaii. So it's not necessarily, you know, crisis. Obviously, you know, him losing his leg in battle was definitely a crisis. But and, you know, that's part of why we do these things. But we do a lot of advocacy and education, so you'll find us up in the halls of Congress lots, you know, being the voice for our troops. If there's a corporation and there's an injustice against our troops, we'll step in and try to correct that and make it right. If they don't want to do that, then we'll alert, you know, our supporters who can reach out to them and try to change their mind. We do retreats in Texas for our families of fallen and for our Purple Heart recipients and their families. And then we do a lot of different events across the United States for our troops. Could be a meal if we get tickets. We've got a race coming up, an Indy race here in Arizona that we've got troops and their families that we'll be sending to that. And then we have a house in Arizona called the Heroes Hope Home where the families of the fallen can come stay for free. And when they get here, there's gift baskets in the room and there's gift cards for manicures, pedicures, massages, meals, sporting events, movies. It's just a simple way to let them know we will never forget their sacrifice. And one of the retreats that we did, I think it was last year, we had the son of the first Navy SEAL that was killed in Vietnam. And that pain never goes away. Oh, we need to always remember those sacrifices. And it's not, you know, that just happened to be another SEAL circumstance. We do all branches of the military. And, you know, as I said, it's my honor to be able to carry on Mark's memory. And each time we do something, you know, it continues to honor him through that letter. But we do know who pays that price for our freedoms. And unfortunately, our government is not doing a good job of taking care of our vets. And they need, you know, those of us to stand in and make that right. And I do believe that You know, oftentimes we expect our government to do anything and everything for us, and there is personal responsibility. I do believe that our veterans should be at the top of the list of what our government does to make sure they take care of them for, you know, what they have done and the price they have paid for our freedoms. But unfortunately, that's not happening, and that's why we stepped in. And we're also paying for, we have a program called Helping Heroes Heal. And so any of those therapies that are not being paid for by the VA or by TRICARE, we will step in if they're, you know, reasonable ones. We don't go to the wacko off the deep end type. But one of the things we've been doing for 2 years is paying for hyperbaric oxygen therapy treatment. And we're finding it's just making a huge difference for our troops with PVI. It's actually found to be healing the brain. With PTS, it's helping with the different symptoms there. So,
I'm a huge advocate of HBOT, and you know, we're going to do a whole program on it here in a month or so, and I strongly believe in it too. I've seen what it can do. I have a friend that's listening in today. His son did it in the Colorado area, and you know, it's a great resource to have made available to these troops that can use it. So I strongly believe in it.
Yeah, and we work with doctors all over the United States. Our goal is to get our veteran placed near his home. It requires 40 treatments, and it's a consecutive, so it's 2 months of treatment. They go in for an hour a day for treatment, but so many of them have been in the hospital for numerous surgeries for different things, and trying to take them away from their families again. Their family heat units need to be healed as well. We are working with Dr. Harsh out of LSU, who's doing a research study right now and actually documenting the process. So hopefully we can get VA and TRICARE to acknowledge that this is a healing therapy that needs to be paid for. And there are other things that we're looking at. We're also including, you know, supplements and hormones in with that. That is also helping. So many of our troops, literally, they leave the VA and they come out with a gallon-sized baggie of different medications they're supposed to take. And I would say probably two-thirds of those medications, along with all the other side effects, they may cause suicidal tendencies. Why on earth you would give someone who's discouraged, depressed, whatever a prescription that says may cause suicidal tendencies is beyond me. But we wonder why our suicide rate is so high. You know, that's another one that we step in for. My husband committed suicide 21 years ago, so we've had to live through that as well. And I understand, you know, on the family side, the perspective of that. So we want our troops to know we're here for them in that as well. And it's just, you know, it's so sad for me to see. I just came back week before last was in Dallas, and as I got off the plane, the PGR was there, the Patriot Guard Riders, and there was only two of them, so they didn't stand out. But I kind of walked by them, and then I went back because I've had, you know, when I've spoke at events before where, you know, they've arranged to have the PGR meet me, you know, as an honor thing. And usually it's not at the gate, you know, it's like once I get out of the airport. But so I wasn't sure, and I went back and I said, who are you guys here for? And they said, we're loading, you know, a fallen. And I was like, oh, and I get the casualty reports, and I hadn't, you know, seen any in combat. So I just asked, and they said it was a suicide. And, you know, had the opportunity, you know, his buddy that was escorting him was there, and had the opportunity to speak with him and hug him, you know, and love on him a little bit as a mom would. And just share, please, please, let people know we are here for them. There are resources out there to help them and, you know, to give them hope again and let them know there is a reason for them to live, that there's something that we can do for the pain that they're dealing with. And it just, things have got to change in that area as well.
Yeah, most definitely. And yeah, I don't know what it's going to take. The 22 a day is just ridiculous. And, you know, we've talked about several things here, and any number of them, any one you can pick out, and our government is not doing blessed thing about them. The HBOT treatment, you know, the VA is lagging behind on that. I've said for the last 2 years, 3 years, that that the necessity for that, the Veterans Administration is going to hold out, and that's going to be the next door Agent Orange for this generation now.
Yeah.
It's just, it's ridiculous. You know, when is the government going to get involved with the 22 a day? You know,
right.
God. And, you know, we're trying to make all the grassroots effort that we can, you know, and try and help as many in distress as we can. But it's, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just, you know, thanks to social media, people are becoming a little bit more aware of it. But then again, that goes back to, even on social media, how many people on social media know that we're in the middle of a huge war? You know, it's just,
yeah,
I don't know, Debbie. It's an uphill fight.
It is, but you know what? I'm committed to staying in the fight. You know, our men,
yeah,
and women in the military stayed in the fight for me, and I am committed. I don't care what it takes, and I've been doing this for 9 years. I don't take a salary from our foundation. A typical work week for me is probably 80 to 90 hours a week. And there are days that I wake up and I think, okay, I'm done. You know, I've done a lot. We've been able to accomplish a lot. I'm going to pass the baton. And
yeah,
then I think of Mark running into the line of fire. His final actions were running into that line of fire. He didn't quit. And I raised him as a single mom. Doggone it, you know. Thanks a lot, Mark. Now I can't quit. But, and, you know, I do. It's a passion. It's a love, because I do understand who paid that price for me,
yeah,
so that I can live in America and have my freedoms. And I will. I will not quit. I will stay in the fight and do everything that I possibly can do for those who are willing to give their lives for me.
Well, it's like my friend Mike just texted me and said, you know, there's way too much at stake to give up now. You know, he has twin sons, and one was in the Army and one was a Marine, and they both turned out to be snipers. And, you know, praise God that they came back. But, you know, they have problems. They're leading fairly, you know, they're leading good lives, but they have problems. My son has problems. You know, it just never stops. So, Mike, you're absolutely right. There is way too much at stake to give up the fight now. We just can't do it. So,
yeah, exactly. And thank you, Mike, for raising warriors, and whoever else, I don't know whoever else is listening on here, but if you fought for our country, if you served in the military, if you've raised warriors, if you're married to warriors, God bless you. Thank you, thank you. You know, you're the reason that the country is the country that it is, and that we have the freedoms that we have. I do believe they're trying to strip those away from us, and there's a responsibility back home here that we need to stand for. But God bless all of you who are military families who have served. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
I want to go back to some of the one in particular, one of the programs that America's Mighty Warriors has, and that's the El Oso Ranch out east of Dallas that Cindy and I got to go to a couple of years ago, and I think it was probably the very first event that I went to that I really became aware of the type of network that created at this type of event. And we walked away from there with with an extra 20 pounds because we ate so much, but with some friends, from all over the United States that walk the same walk as you and Cindy do. And I have Cindy on the air right now, and Michael Retzer, who's brother Tommy Retzer, was KIA, and Leona Retzer is their mother. But Mike, are you on?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, Don?
I'm doing well,
hey,
brother. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Hello.
And Cindy, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Debbie. I'm
hey,
so proud
Cindy.
To be on here with you. And
oh, it's family week.
Yeah, just wanted to let you know how much you have changed. I mean, you have changed my life, my walk, my journey. The getting to go to El Oso Ranch was meant so much to me. Meeting my extended son Michael, who's on the phone with us, it just brought us families together, and I just really appreciate what you do for our families.
Well, thank you, and I think that is one of the most important impacts of the event is through the years, and as you know, Cindy and Michael, the main thing is a Gold Star family. You don't want anyone to ever forget your loved one. You don't want anyone to forget the sacrifice that they have made. And so that's a way that, you know, America's Mighty Warriors can let you guys know we won't ever forget. We will always remember. I don't care, you know, how far away you get from the date of the death or, you know, the combat action, whether it was, you know, Vietnam, Korea, World War I, World War II, we remember as a nation, it is our responsibility to remember those families. And then to be able to bring all of these amazing families together who paid such a huge price and let them naturally, it is not a forced grieving. We believe, you know, that's something that as you're sharing a meal, as you're out at the pool, going down the water slides, horseback riding, kayaking, canoeing, as you're building that bond together, you know, you can say, gosh, what do you do on the birthdays? How do you handle the anniversary? You know, what? And it's just a natural way to go through the grieving process. If I'm having a good day, please don't put me in a group of 25 other mothers who've also lost a child and every one of us sits and tells the story. We're all going to feel like, you know, we've been punched in the gut again. And again, if I'm having a good day, don't force me to go there. And so that's the direction that we provide. But as you said, Cindy and Michael, you know, we're family now. You know, we stay in touch when, you know, we're having those bad moments. You've got someone else you can pick up the phone in the middle of the night and say, I don't feel like I'm going to make it. Or, you know, it is, you know, a lifetime of relationship, you know, that people who understand what you've been through. I can, in the most descriptive words I can, try to explain to somebody what it's like to have lost a child in combat. Michael can describe as descriptively as he can what it's like to lose a brother. You know, Cindy, same thing. You can share as a mother. But no one else who's walked through that can completely understand. And when you're around other families who know exactly, you don't have to explain to them. Like, they know there's an instant bond, and it's amazing to be part of that. And, you know, again, that's another way that we can be there for families who, you know, have walked that and be a support for them and let them know we will always remember the sacrifice your loved one has made.
Michael, what do you remember most about our week at Alonzo Ranch?
Oh, it was an amazing time. I met a lot of good people there. Debbie, another one, Cokes from East Mom, met her, and I've just come away with a lot of fun times there. Yeah, I didn't realize how many families go through what we go through, and like you say, Debbie, we stay as a family. We come in as individuals, and we leave there as a family.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the way that you put that, Michael. And I think, you know, your mom has been, you know, our poster child for the transformation that can take place. And she came in, I think, the first time she attended one of our retreats, it had been 10 years since Tommy died. And, you know, she later told me she had no, she knew there were other Gold Star families, but she really had never connected with any other Gold Star families. She said she didn't know that she could do something with her grief. We all have to process and go through grief, but there are things that you can learn that help you manage your grief better, help you cope. And then, you know, as with Mark, starting this foundation in his memory to carry on his legacy, but not just to sit and be in the midst of grief. You know, that's not what our loved ones would want us to do. They would want us to do something. We were blessed to have them in our lives for whatever time that we did. In my case, I was Mark's mom for 28 years. You know, Chris was his brother for 28 years. Cheryl was his sister for 28 years. So we take that time that we had them in our lives. We take the memories that we share, the, you know, their sense of humor, their silliness, their quirky stuff. I saw Cindy post something the other day that, you know, Danny was a breakdancer, and even during Bud's week, you know, they had him out there trying to breakdance in the sand. How you do that, I'm not sure. She did say something about cardboard. But, you know, we remember those things, and then we live our lives with those blessings and making a change as they would want us to do in others' lives. And so we've seen that, you know, in your family's life, as your mom, you know, started a fundraiser each year, and she honors Tommy. He loved Hawaiian themed stuff, so it's a luau, and there's surfboards and, you know, flower lays, and it's all the stuff that he would love to honor and celebrate his life. And then the funds that she raises from that, she pays it back to America's Mighty Warriors so we can continue to impact other lives. You know, what a great change of life. And I know she's working hard on the event that's coming up in June for that down in San Diego. And so it's cool to see that impact as it, you know, starts that snowball effect and works in other people's lives.
Exactly. And it, for me, being a brother, it's a lot easier because, like, we just got back at 3 o'clock this morning from down there. And we went right in and visited Mark and Tommy and Danny's building. And it just, and like I sent Debbie yesterday a picture. He's like a brother now to me. Danny's a brother to me. He's not a biological brother. He's my brother from another mother. And yep, same with Mark. He's the same thing. It's even though they're gone, they're still family. They're still like brothers to me now. And then it'll always be like that.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so cool about those relationships as you know, build those. You know, same thing. Tommy's buried up at Fort Rosecrans where Mark is. And, you know, whenever I go visit Mark's grave, there's 11 other SEALs up there that I know of, and I place flowers on all their graves and remember them. When we're in, you know, Colorado, I go down to, you know, Danny's grave where he's buried, and just honor and remember him. And I think that does mean so much. I know for me it does. When someone's visited Mark's grave and they send me a picture, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, people still remember, you know, they continue to think, you know, and honor him. And I know that's the same for you guys as well. You know, when you get those pictures or someone says, you know, I'm here, I've been there, we won't forget. It's just like, ah, oh, very cool.
I know that we have we have friends that live in Florida, Jim Rudolph and his lovely wife, and every year they vacation in Estes Park, Colorado, but they always make the trip down to Fort Logan, and they send Cindy, they take flowers to Danny's grave, and they always send Cindy a picture of the gravesite with the flowers on it. So it's, you know, it's just amazing how many people's lives are touched by mostly word of mouth, I think, and of course events like we have, and the great you know, the great things that America's Mighty Warriors does for everyone, you know, for everyone to bring awareness and make introductions. I don't know how long it would have been before we met the Retzers if it hadn't been for Alasso Ranch. And they're great friends. We stayed at Leona's house when we were down there for the Luau event a couple of years ago, and just great people, and we love them to death.
Well, and the story of, you know, I just remembered when, you know, Cindy and I first met. And I had read something on the internet when they were trying to put Danny's statue up there in Littleton, and they were getting some pushback from some people that lived in the community, and, you know, ridiculous things. And of course, this is the community. I used to play in the park where Danny's statue is at. And that's, you know, Littleton, Colorado's where Columbine, and they were trying to compare, you know, and it's always just a few that, you know, speak really loud and get the city council to think maybe we shouldn't put this in there. And I read something on that. And I'm like, oh, no, this ain't happening on my watch. And, you know, I reached out to the city council, the city of Littleton, I don't know if the council members or who at that time, and then sent out an email and asked other people, too. And they did, obviously, do the statue is there in that park where I used to play. And so when the dedication for that came, you know, Cindy and I had talked on the phone a couple of different times before that, but I wanted to be there, and so I flew up for that dedication. So that's one of those advocacy things that, you know, we do for our troops or the families. It's, you know, not just the retreats and the Heroes Hope Home, but we need to use our voice when there's an injustice and stand up for these families. When you're in going through grief, it's hard for you to, for most people. I guess there's some people that, you know, everybody responds differently to grief, but it's hard. I remember there were some things that happened when Mark died. They wouldn't let me be on the tarmac in San Diego when Mark's body came in because, you know, the threat of security issues. I'm like, are you kidding me? But I wasn't in a frame of mind at that time to say, oh, heck no, this ain't happening. You arrest me. I'm going down there. You know, I just wasn't in that place where I could do that. So if we can do that for others, you know, when there's an injustice and speak out, be there to support them, give them that strength they need, you know, whenever, whatever, you know, they're walking through, and then it's that. We're honored to be able to do that. And, you know, there have been great friendships that have been built, you know, in the process. So,
hey, Michael, you touched a little bit on it, but this year, the luau is going to be in San Diego. When is that going to be?
It's June 25th from 4 to 9 there at O'Gare Coach in La Jolla.
Okay. And what can people expect?
We will have – it's basically going to be all Hawaiian themed. My brother had his – he loved Hawaiian shirts, but the one he had was awful looking. And it's just a Hawaiian attire and Polynesian dancers, great food, auctions. I mean, what else? Just basically we're going to have fun there. It's Honor of Tommy, and like Debbie was saying, everything goes to America's Mighty Warriors. And it helps those families out, too.
And it's just a great way to celebrate Tommy and who he was, how he lived life, and, you know, honor and remember him.
Everyone has a great time. It's the third one, I believe, will be.
Michael, we're going to have you back on just before that event so that we can talk about it a little bit more. And Cindy, you want to talk about the event we got coming up in a couple of weeks or a few weeks in Denver?
Yeah, we got our annual Charlie Daniels event. Charlie Daniels does a event every year for Danny's Foundation. And so he's coming out on April 13th. And I don't have the name of the place because I'm not at home going.
we'll
have a Facebook page. We're teaming up with Deb Quackenbush with American Military Families. Unfortunately, I'm just not decided. I just didn't want to host any events as of yet right now. So she's putting it all together. It's going to be an amazing event. We're going to have David Rutherford, Navy SEAL, excellent motivational speaker. He'll be our MC for the event. And then Scott Brown with the Scooter Brown Band is going to be our opener for Charlie Daniels. And just going to be a small, quaint event in Castle Pines.
We're going to do the live auction. Are we doing a
live
auction?
We'll have a live auction. We'll have a live auction. We're going to have Axis and Tactical actually designed a tribute rifle, like Matthew Axelson's, only we're going to have some special things inside of it of Danny's. We're going to have the Danny Dietz Challenge coin. We've designed a challenge coin with the both foundations, one on each side of the coin. And then his SDV Team 2 coin, and then a patch, his SDV Team 2 patch. And then on the inside of the case, as you open it up, is going to be the Isaiah 6:8 verse, which is my favorite verse. That's at every, whenever I send an email, that's at the end of every email that I send out. And, and the box that holds the coins is going to be very, very special. We chose one of Danny was an artist, and so we chose one of his drawings with his original signature, which will be lasered onto the wooden box holding the challenge coins. But the most special thing is it's being made by Jeff Axelson and Axelson Tactical and his group. Just means a lot, and I understand they're going to be eventually doing one for Mark. So excited to see that one as well.
Debbie may not have gone that yet.
Oh,
I did.
Sorry, Debbie.
That's okay.
Oh, hopefully I didn't ruin the surprise. I'm sure they'll have to talk with you first anyway. But anyway, so we're going to have that. Laurel Barberi, who is the artist, was named the Artist of the Year in Dallas, Texas, at a big show out in Dallas at the convention center there. donated a portrait, beautiful portrait of a buffalo. And then Andy Arabito is doing a tribute knife. And we're going to have just a bunch of other neat items.
We got word yesterday that we're also going to have Tim McGraw's autographed guitar there. And it's just going to be a great evening. And we're going to get a website up or a Facebook page fairly soon and describe everything that's going to happen there. And, again, that's going to be April 13th in Castle Rock area of Colorado at the Celio. And I'm not sure if it's a restaurant or a hotel. But, anyway, there's further information to follow. So,
Charlie always donates a gold fiddle, a golden autographed fiddle.
Yeah, and
so
those are
hopefully
those are
one
really
of his
fantastic
hats. Yeah, so very, very exciting. Excited.
And Michael, when is yours again? When is Tommy's luau?
June 25th.
Oh, that's going to be Memorial Day weekend, correct?
No, that's in May.
Oh, May.
Memorial
okay
Day weekend is May.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Cindy and Michael, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts about El Oso Ranch with us. And,
thanks for having us.
Thank you
sure
very much, Tony.
Talk to you
okay
soon, Debbie.
Michael.
It was good to talk to you guys.
Right.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye, Mama Lee.
Love you, too.
Love you, too. Bye.
Debbie, tell me a little bit about the random acts of kindness theory with America's Mighty Warriors and how that fits into your organization.
You bet. Mark's last letter home that I had mentioned before talks about lots of different things. You know, he talks about combat, some of the things he endured and saw over there. But he leads that into encouraging people how we could change our country by doing more random acts of kindness. And he said, when's the last time you paid for a stranger's cup of coffee, a meal, or a tank of gas? Or, you know, help someone with their groceries into or out of their car? And so the bottom of the letter says, my family and friends, do me a favor. Pass on the kindness, the love, the precious gift of human life. And so I accepted that challenge, and we do those random acts of kindness. And it started out, you know, obviously we've grown as a foundation, but it started out in the beginning of just, you know, buying somebody's cup of coffee, you know, paying for their meal when we went by. On Congress, I don't remember how many years ago, that they finally declared, you know, March 30th as Welcome Home Vietnam Vets Day. And so we went out in our community and went to the Village Inn, went to the Starbucks, went to the different restaurants around us, and walked in. If there was something that, you know, identified them as a veteran, then I would walk up and say, you know, thank them, shake their hand and thank them for serving, and then, you know, grab their check or tell the waitress that we are paying for their meal today just to honor them. And, it, you know, it's such a cool feeling. The impact when you do that for someone else, not only do you change their day, but you change your day, and it's contagious. And then as we continued to build our programs, then, you know, when we would hear someone, if it was on the news or, you know, on social media or somewhere, or someone reached out to us, then we would vet the circumstance. We had this past year, a Gold Star family who the father had had a stroke, and the mother had to quit work to take care of him, you know, when it first happened. We later found out that the sister of the fallen hero had also been in combat, and I believe that she had lost both of her arms. And so this family had just gone through so much. So we were able to, you know, reach out to a pastor, the pastor in their church, you know, to vet this and verify all these circumstances and that there was a need there, you know, and sent them a check for $5,000 just to help. I mean, it's a small token considering all that they have been through and that they're struggling through, but just a way to let them know, here's a little bit of finances, but people care. People remember, you know, what you're going through. We have one of our Navy troops right now in San Diego. His daughter, I think she just had a birthday, but she was 4 when she got brain cancer. And the struggles that they have gone through, the surgeries, the chemo, the radiation, you know, this poor little girl is down to just, you know, skin and bones, basically, and they keep fighting and so, you know, struggling through this. And so, you know, we gave them something to help, you know, with it. They've got medical that's helping. There's, you know, not everything's covered, but, you know, all the, you know, time to get in child care for the son, the younger little boy who's home, and the families that, you know, the family members that would fly in to try to support them, and the extra food costs and those things that you don't think about. And again, it's just a way to say you're not alone. You are not walking this alone. There are people who love you and who care. And I just think about, you know, when Mark wrote that letter, he wrote it about 2.5 weeks before he was killed. And he intended that to go to just a few family and friends. It was an email that was sent out. And he had no clue that God would take that letter and use that letter to impact millions of lives around the world. And, you know, he was much wiser than the 28 years, you know, that he lived on this earth. And just those simple words, you know, how they're changing life. I have had several circumstances where I've received an email or a phone call from someone, you know, who had laid the tarp out in their garage and was going to take their life. And they had remembered Mark's letter, or had happened to come across it, or, you know, had read the story of, you know, what we're continuing to do at America's Mighty Warriors through Mark's tragic loss. And they're like, how could I do that? When Mark gave his life so I could live, how could I do that? You know, and so they, you know, didn't end up taking their life. And, you know, it's just, you don't realize when you're given the gift of a child what they will end up being or how they will change the world. And As I said before, I was a single mom. I struggled a lot raising my children, didn't have support from their father, you know, financial or being there for them. And there were days where it looked like there was no light at the end of the tunnel. I was 23 years old when I went through the divorce, and Christopher was 3, Cheryl was 18 months, and I found out 2 weeks later I was pregnant with Mark. And I can tell you, it really was. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. It looked hopeless at times, but I was determined I was not going to quit. I was not going to give up. I won't pretend to act like I was a perfect mom to those kids, because I wasn't. I made lots of mistakes in the process. Just ask them. They'll tell you. But yeah. Perseverance and determination was something that, you know, they learned at home, that we weren't going to quit. We weren't going to give up. And I was blessed to have 3 great kids, and, you know, one beat us all to heaven. He was so stinking competitive that he even beat us there, but not that there haven't been struggles, but we go through the struggles in life, and we persevere, and we continue to, you know, do what we can. Everybody in their own, you know, area that they live, their area of operation, as you would say in the military, we all have something that we need to do. And as Mark signs off on that letter, he does a P.S. And he says, halfway through the deployment, can't wait to see your smiling faces. And for each one of us, we are still here. We are only halfway through the deployment. There is still something each one of us need to do. Not necessarily everybody's called to start a foundation and run it, you know, at the level that we are. But there is something each one of us can do. And those random acts of kindness is one of those very simple ways that every one of us, I don't care where you're at and where you live, what your financial status is, what you're going through, everyone can do a random act of kindness today. Even if it's just like Mark said, help someone with their groceries into or out of the car. That's a very simple way, something simple that we can all do. You know, maybe we all don't have the ability to, you know, sign up for our 16 in 2016 and give on a reoccurring basis or make a large donation or, you know, host an event. But everybody can do a random act of kindness today. And they can do that in Mark's memory and make a difference in the life that you do that for. But it changes you when you do that.
Yeah, it's it takes practically nothing. And, you know, you can call it pay it forward. You can call it a random act of kindness. But, you know, the feeling of self-satisfaction and elation that you get out of doing it is just unbelievable, you know. And at the end of the day, when you sit down and you're ready to turn on TV and watch it and think about what you've done and how you changed somebody's day and made it a little bit brighter for them, it just feels so good. You know,
yeah.
I can tell you, having been on the receiving end of it also, I'll tell you that when I sit down and think about what somebody did for me that day, it just makes me want to do it more. And so we try and do it every chance we can and whenever and wherever we can. So, Debbie, it was kind of hectic when we first started out today, but bless you for being so patient with me and the show and getting it up and running today and taking a few minutes and talking with Cindy and Michael about how they felt about El Oso Ranch and some of the programs that they have going. I really appreciate it. We didn't get to talk about the one thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and that is Gitmo, but we're going to have you back, and especially if that happens, if this POTUS decides to follow through with that, we'll definitely have you back, and we'll talk about that some more.
Yeah, God forbid that that does happen, because I've been down to Gitmo. You know, I've seen it. Like I said, I know we don't have time to go into that today, but we need to use our voices to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, we definitely need. And that reminds me that I want to tell everybody, if you know, you need to get out there and vote. And I don't care how you vote, what side of the fence you're on, but you need to get out there and vote. You know, I fulfilled my duty the other day and got that done. And it takes nothing to do it, folks. Just go down and do it. 15 minutes out of your day, and you'll be paying it forward for our nation by doing that. You know, it's just I do care how you vote, but I'm not going to get into that now. But you need to extend your right, your constitutional right, to get out there and express your opinion and cast that ballot and get it done. So,
agreed.
Debbie, give us your website one more time where people can go and find out more about America's Mighty Warriors and, you know, and how they can help.
You bet. It's America's, with an S on the end, Mighty Warriors, with an S on the end, .org. And you can, there's lots of different merchandise. I'm a contributing author in 4 different books, but we've got Marks Memorial merchandise and patch and decals, and that's a way that you can help support us. You can also make a donation there, sign up for a recurring monthly donation. There's lots of resources and information. Upcoming events, we're actually doing an event in Texas March 30th to April 10th. We'll be doing a tour called Music's Greatest Icons, and it's Elvis, Conway Twitty, I don't even remember all the impersonators, Loretta Lynn, that will be there. Great shows from Houston, Austin, Dallas, San Antonio. We're all over the state, so we'd love to see you support us that way as well. The tickets are available for each of the different venues. By the way, we're actually doing a free concert on Fort Hood. for our troops there is just a way to give back and let them know their families that this is another way that we can say thank you, we love you, and appreciate you. We don't have the tickets on the website yet for the Tommy Retzer event, but those will be posted up there shortly, so you can buy tickets there for that as well. But there's also information on all of our programs, and if there's anything we can do for any of your listeners that, you know, support them, please reach out. That's what we're here for. And we so appreciate you having us on today and letting us share a little bit more about what we do and why we do what we do.
Well, you're always a great guest, and I love you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And we're going to go on the website, americasmightywarriors.org, and get our tickets for that Texas event for the oldies.
Awesome.
That's going to be great. Are you going to be there?
I will be there, yes.
Okay. Then we'll for sure see you there. And hopefully Cindy and I can make that. And that sounds like a good time. Sounds like right down my line.
Awesome. So. Yeah, no, the Elvis impersonator won the national competition in Vegas in 2010, I think. So it's a quality show.
Well, Cindy will be there now. Cindy loves Elvis. She's seen him in concert before his demise. Well, you know, according to Facebook, Elvis is in a VA clinic someplace waiting to be helped. But that's another story. So,
Well, have him
anyway.
Tell us. We'll help him.
Yeah. We'll help him. Okay.
All right.
Debbie, thank you so
Take
much.
Take care, Don. Oh, yeah.
You too. You bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, we're blessed to have one more guest today. And I have a new song that's going to close the show. Wait a minute. First of all, Anthony, hang on for 2 more minutes. I'll get to you.
Okay.
I just want to remind everybody that in 2 days, it's going to be Red Shirt Friday. I want everybody to put on a red shirt. And what's that red shirt stand for? Remember Everyone Deployed, R-E-D. Put it on, bring awareness to the troops that are still serving overseas. Every one of them, everyone that is still serving or has served, just put on that red shirt and let everybody know you're thinking about it. You know, next week, next Wednesday, I'm not sure the exact date, but it's probably going to be March already. Anyway, warriortalkradio.com. I want everybody to tune in. We're going to have a great show. And now I'm going to talk to Mr. Anthony Powers, who I haven't had the pleasure of speaking with yet, but we've been sending emails back and forth. And Anthony, if I'm correct, you are a Navy veteran. Is that true?
Yes, sir, I was.
And when and where did you serve?
I served from 1977 till 2001, and I was in psychiatry in the U.S. Navy.
Ah, okay. And did you do, where were you deployed at?
I stayed at Portsmouth Naval Hospital for pretty much my whole career, a little bit of time in San Diego, but mostly in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Very good. And you wrote a song and made a CD of a song that's entitled Scars That Never Heal. What brought that to you? What inspired you to write that song?
Well, basically, even back in the Navy, when I was in the Navy, there was career military people that I'd seen that were from Vietnam and heard stories in group interviews and stuff, but I don't think the emphasis was put on PTSD at that time like it is now. And listening to, I have a relative that was in the Coast Guard, and he had some issues, and I just sat down and I wanted to do something that I could, not so much, you know, that for our vets who, you know, deserve everything they get, but maybe to help the friends and families of the vets to kind of understand a little bit more about what they were going through. And I write songs, and the easiest way for me to get that message across was writing the song. So that's basically where it came from, because, you know, that those are scars that never heal.
Well, that's very true, and I have a lot of veteran friends that would definitely line up behind you to verify that. Do you have a favorite line in the song that, you know, just really brings it home as far as you're concerned?
You know, just probably the bridge of the song where it's referring to the people that, you know, our heroes shouldn't, you know, be left alone. That, you know, they need the support. They need people out there, people like you, your show, and other organizations that are out there to try to help and to help people understand what's going on. So I would say the bridge of the song is what meant the most to me.
Yeah, it's, well, like I told you in the email, I forget how I came across it. I was just searching for veteran songs, and that was one of them that came up, and I listened to it, and then I went to the YouTube video that you had done back then and played it again and again several times. And I thought, well, that song is definitely has some meaning to me. And I hope to other veterans, not just of my generation in the Vietnam War, but, it really, as you say in the song, it applies to Afghanistan and Iraqi vets returning today. And I want to help bring all the awareness I can to PTSD and their situation and what they have to live with and what their friends and family, especially the family, lives with daily. And, it's a fight. They may seem okay, as you know. They may seem to be okay and happy-go-lucky, and then all of a sudden something clicks and they're gone.
Yeah, and the assumption sometimes is met that it's something else going on than what it really is. People make assumptions why the actions take place. So.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, without further ado, I need to bring the show to a close today, and I want to thank you for calling in and talking about Scars That Never Heal, and I encourage everybody to go out and listen to it. It is on YouTube, and it's a great song. and you really have to listen to the words. So, again, thank you so much for the song, and thanks for calling in, and thanks for holding on for half an hour. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't mind waiting. I thank you so much, Don, for your playing it, because the more people that hear it, the more people I can touch, and that's what I was trying to do.
Okay. Well, thanks again, and you have a great day.
On the edge of a bar stool is the place he always sat, drinking Irish whiskey, just trying to. Thank God for them.